November 3rd, 2012 session of TeamSpeak for HPSER. My name is Dave, KV0S. Last two weeks, I've been actually traveling and not been able to check in. I have been trying to keep up with the website and have made several changes since I got back from my trip. I think I have most of those caught up. I have one more I know that I have to make, but in general, that's been up to date now. And lots of excitement, lots of people interested in lots of different things. So that's about it for me. Next on the list, we have Dave, WA8YWQ.
This week, my HPSDR time has been spent on group purchases, and I was just noticing my inbox, seeing that there's lots of activity, because I opened up the group buy for the Hermes microcircuits parts. We'll see how it goes. There will be a second group buy for parts for a reflection bridge that can be used with Hermes as a, well, when Hermes is being used as a vector network analyzer. And I have some work to do to prepare the circuit boards. So I want to put multiple copies on one Express PCB layout and get multiple copies fabricated. And once I know how many I can get on a board, I'll have a price for that, and I can put together a price for the whole kit, which will be a circuit board, a bit of coax, the mini circuits, Balun transformer, and the ferrite beads. That's keeping me busy, and back to you.
I think we should make a comment that Dave is taking care of North America and I believe Australia, and that John Melton in Europe is taking care of the European continent. Those of you that are interested in buying these particular parts to help populate their Hermes bare boards, please contact either Dave, WA8YWQ, or John Melton, G0ORX. Let them know they're both listening to the list, so for anyone that's still interested in following along, please do. Next on the list, we have Dwayne, W5PNM, shown as mic muted. And then we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And then we have Rob, VE3EW, shown as mic muted. And then we have Warren, NR0V.
This week, with one small exception, I finished the rewrite of the synchronous AM demodulator. And as I think I mentioned last week, in addition to some PLL change, I added two features. One is sideband selection. So if there's an interfering signal on one side or the other, you can just listen to one sideband of the AM signal. And the second thing was what I call a fade leveler that strips out a fading carrier and inserts a much more stable carrier in its place. The big item I had to do this week was to write some software to compute filter coefficients and finalize those for the sideband separation algorithm. I found some code that I could leverage. It's actually a fairly short algorithm for the basic coefficient computation, but I had to, didn't have to, but I chose to rewrite that in C# and build a simple simulator around it so I could vary parameters, compute coefficients, and then simulate and see how I did. That worked out fine. I've chosen a set of coefficients that should give over 40 dB sideband separation across the entire audio frequency range. The small remaining item on AM that I mentioned is finalizing a couple parameters in the fade leveler. W5WC and I have been doing some on-air listening to see what sounds best. I've done the simulation, however, sometimes there just seems to be no substitute for listening to how these things actually sound. I'm also beginning to get back to looking at the pre-distortion software and how to do that in more of a production way rather than the testbed type software that I have now. I see that Bill's here, and maybe the Daves know some things about this as well, but I've made a couple tentative decisions, and I thought I'd kind of throw them out and get feedback that some of you may have for me. These are really just lines in the sand at this point. The first that is that In PowerSDR, I think the best and safest place to put the software is going to be in Janus Audio. The reason is that there I know I have control of how various sample streams, for example, receiver to transmitter and receiver to receiver, how those streams are synchronized. And once things get out of Janus Audio, you know, something, even if they're synchronized today, they might not be after future code changes and so on. The problem I have is sort of analogous to Joe's diversity reception, where he has to have synchronization between the received samples to combine them correctly. What I have to do is to calibrate, and I have to compare transmitted and what gets transmitted and what gets received to be able to calibrate, and obviously I have to match up the samples to do that correctly. So the second thing I'm thinking is that to be able to match up received samples with transmitted samples for calibration, perhaps the best and most practical thing is to borrow or add a receiver channel in the protocol and simply send back the transmitted samples along with the received samples. That sort of moves the synchronization responsibility to the firmware, where there should be, I would think, pretty good control. One concern on the firmware side is the Enware protocol. I haven't really looked at it yet, but I'm hoping that it enforces a fixed timing, so there's no bus arbitration or anything like that going on that could change the timing. That's maybe more than you wanted to know. So, by the way, Dave, KV0S, thanks for the website info. I was waiting until the AM was released, and then I'll try to use the information you provided to put some stuff up there. So back to you, Dave.
Next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD.
Let's see, continue to be a bit swamped by work. I guess I've done an awful lot of radio stuff the last few weeks. Warren, on your question on trying to synchronize receive versus transmit samples, on the PC, I guess, Janus Audio... If you're going to do it on the PC, it's going to be Janus Audio is probably the best place to do it. But I think it's going to be hard there because there's a whole bunch of buffering both in Janus Audio, right, and also down on the FPGA, where I think you may have some jitter that says, hey, the transmitted packet, you'll hear it back, you know, N packets later, plus or minus, some number of packets. So I'm not sure. Without sort of time stamping packets, I'm really not sure how easy it would be to correlate between the two. I mean, I guess one of the things you could do is the different sampling rates, put a step or a pulse through the system and see how long it takes it to come back and appear at the input, you know, transmit a pulse and see how long do you hear it back. And see, you know, what that looks like based upon the differing sample rates, because we also change the interleaving of receiving and transmitting frames based upon the sampling rates. I know we can certainly talk more about it later. Back to you, Dave.
Next on the list, we have Bob, the E3GKM, shown as recording in a way. And that brings us to the end of the list. We have a short list tonight. We'll leave it for general discussion. I do have one last point to make. This is the weekend that the United States switches daylight time to standard time. As of next week, is our usual practice, the people in the U.S. will stay at the same time, and the people outside the U.S. shift an hour. So I wanted to warn everybody that we'll be shifting next week, just a word ahead of time.
So, Bill, thanks for the comments and the insight there. Yeah, I looked through some of the Janus. Well, I've looked through a bit of code this week. My first thought had been, well, I'll just do it in DTTSP since it's signal processing. And I looked at the DTTSP code. The only place I could do it there would be in WIN main, because after you make the calls to to the functions in SDR.C, or when you shift to SDR.C to do the processing, you do lose the synchronization. However, WinMain retains the synchronization. Of course, that's only that only works if all the code in between it and the hardware also maintains the synchronization. And that seemed a little risky because you're going through console code, Janus audio code, and so on. So I thought, well, I'll just get down to Janus audio, and I looked through that code, and I'm sure that that I can maintain synchronization there because in that code at least, because Joe, that's apparently what he does for the diversity. So I'm not too worried about the buffering there. The firmware side, I don't know. I'm not a Verilog guy at this point. I may have to try to read through some of that myself, though, unless I can find someone who, you know, sort of understands it well enough to give me the answers on the buffering and on what issues that I'm going to run into.
Well, what is it you need to know? Is you want to know that this received sample corresponds to this transmitted sample?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, I mean, there's going to be some amount of propagation delay from, because what you're talking about is you're talking about samples that are at either 192 or 48 or 96 kilohertz, right? But when they end up going through the digital up converters and down converters in the FPGA. So, I mean, there's some level of propagation through those stages. So, like, if I take a transmit sample out, right, it gets bundled into a whole bunch of things, gets up converted, filtered, blah, 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 and eventually gets presented to the A to, or D to A converter. And then at that point, the A to D converter, you know, sort of instantly hears that result coming back, and it ends up doing, you know, digital down conversion, filtering, blah, blah, blah. So there's certainly going to be some lag there. I mean, do you care about that lag? I mean, I think that lag is constant.
Yeah, you know, I think I can manage that okay as long as it's constant. There is also some lag through the amplifiers, the analog amplifiers, but you know, that is certainly manageable. It just shows up as a constant phase shift or something approximating that. So I still need to work through that in a little more detail, but as long as it's not shifting on me, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I don't think it should be shifting. I don't know. Keeping track of everything that's in flight of the buffers in and out of Janus Audio was never one of my favorite things to try to try and do, quite honestly, because it's sort of it's two loops stacked on top of each other as it sends and receives and, you know, frames and deframes things. If you think that you can sort, I mean, if you think you can sort it out, that's good. I'm sure above that level, things staying in synchronization are unlikely.
Yeah, that was my feeling and concern. As far as sorting it out, again, just to kind of reiterate, I thought the easiest thing might be to send back the transmitted samples. So it really looks like there's two receivers that are sending me data. And that way, I think the situation in Janus Audio should be quite a bit simpler, and perhaps the situation to figure out what things match up on the firmware side might work out pretty well also.
So change or doctor up the firmware so that at the point you feed output samples to the up converter, you also feed them back to Janus Audio saying, okay, here's what I'm transmitting right now.
That's right. And that would come back in the same frame, I think is the way the protocol works, with the corresponding received samples. Now, if there's some latency there, I can always factor that out as long as it's constant.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you should end up seeing then is on the immediate feedback path, you'll see something, and then on the true receiver path, you'll see essentially the same shaped signal, but it'll be delayed a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would think that would work. And don't know, I guess if you key that up as another receiver, that that would work fairly simply with the existing multi-receiver firmware.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What I have to do is figure out where it is one grabs those transmit samples and shoves them into a receive stream.
Yeah, well, essentially, I think what you need is somewhere in the FPGA code. I mean, you just end up sort of dumping it into a FIFO, and then it'll frame it. You know, just figure out sort of how to, you know, essentially hardwire in an echo receiver, essentially.
Yeah, that's really it's a good description. That's really what it is. The other thing I was curious about, and Bill or maybe Dave, I think YWQ, I think maybe you worked on some of this code, but I'm curious, is the NWIRE protocol intact in the Hermes code as well as in the Metis code?
No, I don't think there'll be any NWIRE in Hermes because it's all on one board. The NWIRE was used to transmit between Mercury and Metis and Penelope and Metis.
Okay, well, as I try to understand it, then it might be easier to look at the Hermes code. The reason I asked the question, I thought perhaps the different, the Metis, Penny, and Mercury code had just sort of been bolted together and the NWIRE had been left in place. Even though the physical Atlas bus wasn't there.
Well, I don't recall. I think I've looked at Hermes code at least briefly, but I don't. I think it's. I think the NWIRES were removed and it just connects directly from one module to another inside the FPGA of Hermes.
Okay. Yeah. Bill put a note up here. He has the same thinking. So I may try to look at that because it's probably just going to be simpler to look at.
I think it'll be a lot simpler because you'll have, well, with both transmit and receive processing all in the same FPGA, that seems a lot easier to deal with than having to work with the processing that happens on two separate cards, separated by NWIRE transmissions. Yeah, it should be deterministic, but there's just a lot more delay.
I guess one thing, or tell me if this is too simple. If I were to fire an impulse, say one sample, one maximum positive sample through the system, and then see how long it takes for me to hear that back. Would that tell you what your propagation delay was? And, if you did that, we did that enough times and determined, hey, it is constant, would that essentially give you what you needed?
Well, let's see. So, first of all, I think I'm not sure. I mean, if you fire an impulse, I guess that works. I mean, you are going to get something back, and it should be the same every time. My hesitancy is that a single high sample like that exceeds the Nyquist rate, I think. Is that true or not? But anyway, that was my... Maybe you have to do a few more of them there. But anyway, yeah, that would probably answer a question or two, yeah.
Well, yeah, what I'm wondering is, it might be not quite C-spot run Verilog, but not quite, college-level Verilog to go in and feed an impulse through the system and then count how many clock ticks until you see it come back and, I don't know how you determine it's going to get smeared because you don't have the bandwidth to handle a true impulse. So you're going to see, you know, on the receive side, it's going to get smeared out. So, you know, you say, okay, after the, you know, receive signal comes enough bits off the noise floor, you say, okay, yeah, that's the leading edge of the pulse coming back. And I'm just thinking out loud now.
Yeah, understood. Well, I'll think about that because that's a that's a very interesting idea.
Yeah, if you stick a pulse in at the digitized mic, say in the digitized microphone stream, it's going to get filtered and spread. In addition to more filtering on the receive side, you probably stick a more ideal pulse into the stream just as it's being sent from the PC out to the hardware, and that might be the place to receive, to look for the received impulse too, rather than after a lot of processing.
Yeah.
I was actually trying to do it all on the FPGA, but it's just send a, put it into a test mode and send, essentially put a pulse generator into the, simulate a pulse generator as the IQ stream going out, the transmit stream, and then, essentially count clocks until you see it come back.
Yeah, I think the problem with doing it on the PC side, a test like that, is that the delay through, Ethernet, et cetera, is not constant.
That actually begs the question of, okay, if sending a pulse through on the FPGA tells us, it's, 217 clocks from, time we send it to the time we hear it back, can we then somehow synchronize the transmit and receive streams, which I think we can, because I think Phil sorted out how to do that for the VNA, as I recall.
Well, I'm not sure he had to for the VNA, but the thing I was talking about, Bill, if I send back an echo of the transmitted samples right along with the received samples, then that Ethernet system kind of delay doesn't matter anymore because I can still match them up.
Yeah, you can correlate correlate out the delay.
Yeah, the matching gets done on the firmware side in that case. So as long as they're matched when they leave the firmware, I don't really care exactly how long it takes them to get back.
If you have an Ethernet switch between the hardware and your PC, and there's other traffic on that bus, then you've got some problems, but you can simplify the system.
So I don't think there's a problem if I send back the transmitted samples in the same frames with the corresponding receive samples, though, because all I care about is being able to match them up. I don't care when they get back exactly.
And it's almost like on the PC or on the FPGA in the frame, we want to put a global clock in each of the packets that says, okay, this packet, starts at, clock number, 217. The next packet starts at, clock number 5,323. So you could actually correlate the timing. I guess you essentially know that just based upon the sequence numbers, so maybe that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
The receive streams all come in independently, don't they?
Well, I'm not sure what we mean by independent. They are synchronized. Otherwise, Joe would not be able to do the diversity. In other words, the samples that come in the same frames, or I can't remember the protocol, but there is obviously a way to know which samples were received at the same time.
Yeah, multiple receivers are, the samples are interleaved among all the receivers. So from one to the next, the synchronization is maintained.
So the multiple receivers are interleaved within frames, and the frames are interleaved.
Oh, within a frame, the signals from each of the receivers there's little sections. But actually, every receiver, every sample is interleaved.
So I've got three receivers going. I've got three samples at the beginning of the frame. I know those three samples all occurred at the same time.
I believe so.
Okay, I was thinking they were separate frames and that they were correlated by some global clock, but I honestly don't know how it got implemented. If they're interleaved, that sure as hell makes life a lot simpler.
Yeah, so my idea would be to borrow one of those receiver streams, or add one or whatever. Borrow is fine for now, and shove transmit samples into it. You know, again, interleaved and synchronized.
Yeah, it's simply you just need to, you know, put a little jumper wire from the transmit stream to the one of the receiver streams, and you're done.
Boy, it sounds simple.
It sure would be with wires, with Verilog. I think sure the Verilog is probably not all that hard either. It's just finding where in the code to do it. And what do you have to do to turn those frames? Or essentially, you have to take the one he's reading. Instead of reading from an A to B converter somewhere, you just have to pump those samples into whatever FIFO that A to B converter would usually fill.
Don't recall the exact way that the samples get stuck into the buffer. But if there's multiple receivers running, there's processing on all the receivers occurring simultaneously, because the receivers are just duplicated in the FPGA, and then their outputs all get stuffed into the buffer that's sent off to the PC.
I would bet there's a FIFO sitting at the bottom of the output of the hold down conversion stage. There's probably a FIFO that the samples get placed into, and then there's probably another code that's draining those FIFOs and feeding them into the frames that are headed out to the Ethernet PHY, I think is how it would have to be.
I don't think each receiver has a FIFO. I think there's just one FIFO, and its data is composed of the interleaved outputs of all the active receivers.
Really? I guess, okay. Could it... Well, there's got to be some... because all the A to D converters get... Well, or wait a minute, are we talking about... we're not actually talking about multiple A to B converters. We're talking about multiple receivers on the same A to B converter.
Yep, the same A to D values get sent to each of the active receivers and is processed according to whatever the digital down conversion frequency is. And their outputs all get stuffed. All samples A get stuffed into the buffer, and then all samples B get stuffed next into the buffer.
Okay. That case is actually much easier to keep synchronized. What I was thinking of is the multiple Mercury case, which that one's the one that's harder to get synchronized.
Yeah, it's definitely harder, but it's been done because diversity works.
Yeah, it does. That's the one, though, I think that would have to have... I think you'd have to have multiple FIFOs, but should probably shut up until I read the code.
Yeah, it's certainly much more likely to be a FIFO on each Mercury.
I don't believe there is. I think the outputs from the digital down conversion and decimation just go right to the end wire.
I can believe that, but then when they come off the end wire, where do they go?
I think that's where they all get corresponding samples from each end wire, get stuffed into a buffer that's sent to a FIFO.
Well, since there's a small lull, Dave, I just wanted to check, did the changes I made get you back up and running with editing capability?
Yes, they did. Thank you. You were apologizing for being so slow, but it really wasn't all that slow. There were just a couple of things I wanted to add regarding Hermes and the VNA. So I did that, and I'm happy and hope the readers are happy.
Very good. I know some people have this illusion that I spend hours poring over all these pages, but it's only really the web pages that I work on, and the rest of them I do kind of minimal servicing when I hear or see something wrong, but I don't spend my hours reading and rereading all the pages.
Oh, that would be sleep-inducing.
Definitely. Say, Bill, did you ever find out anything about why our upload of pictures to the wiki doesn't work?
No, I've never gotten into really trying to debug that any further. But, I guess I stole the note from you as to how to do it. When you were looking at that, did you ever look at any of the log files to see if we were getting any sort of anything out that says I'm broken here or might be broken here? Or, I mean, I don't even know what kind of log files we've got from the PHP stuff.
Well, no, I did a little bit, but not really what you're asking. So maybe I'll spend a little time poking around this weekend and see what I can find. And it'd be nice to be able to put pictures back on the web, the wiki part. And I mean, we still can put pictures, but you have to do the thumbnail resizing yourself, and then it works. But it's kind of tedious.
Yeah, I mean, the last I had looked at is we validated that the modules that needed were there, and I mean they appeared to work when I ran them by hand. So, and there's probably some other configuration thing we've lost or missing.
Yeah, I believe so, and I'll see what I can find, and maybe email you when I find anything or if I don't.
Okay, that'll be good. If you end up with a suitably formed query for the DreamHost guys, maybe that might be the next step, is to say, hey, you know, this used to work before we had the server outage, and hey, we've looked at it and can't seem to figure out what the hell's going on. Do you guys have any ideas?
Yeah, I'll try to do that and see if we can get them to give us some feedback on it.
Yeah, and that one I've never been able to. I don't know enough about how the PHP stuff is set up to actually frame an intelligent query, honestly.
Well, a bunch of our PHP stuff seems to be working just fine. And so, it's probably one script somewhere that's just not firing right.
Yep. Damned infernal computers.
Bill. Are you on, just to check, you seem to be fading in and out. I'm sure it's driving Mike crazy. Are you on the right mic, or are you on just not holding it up close to your mouth?
Is it any better now?
Oh, yes, that's much better.
I just realized I had the mic flipped up by my glasses.
Well, Mike, AA8K will appreciate it that you got it working now.
Oh, Lord, it's been that way all night.
Oh, for a little while, part of the discussion. Some of it was nice and clear, and others it wasn't. It sounded like you were sitting on the other side of the room.
Oh, God, the AGC must have been going a little crazy. Oh, well, oops.
Just for everybody's information, we have Randy, KF7RVY, joined us and has been listening in. So, welcome, Randy.
Well, thank you for the welcome. Yeah, my name's Randy. I'm from Spokane, Washington. Just kind of getting interested in SDR. Heard about your little show here. Thought I'd tune in and listen. So thanks for letting me drop in.
Fine business. And I was in your fair city the end of last week. So It was very nice, and we didn't get rained on too much.
And luckily you didn't get snowed upon. That's coming this month. Well, I'm just going to sit back and listen, I'm especially interested in anything Hermes related. So just talk away, guys. Thanks for letting me in.
Well, you're quite welcome, and hope you have a good time with Hermes.
Yes, I guess Hermes from Tapper and Hermes from Apache are both started landing, so it should be a lot of fun.
Oh, that brings up a question. There were a couple of notes on the reflector asking about Meta's production. It seems to have ended, but haven't seen anything in terms of a new source.
I did see one comment that said that GERD was half thinking about making a run of Metasports. We don't have our Tapper representatives to tell us if they have any interest in doing it again. I doubt it, but you never know. That's kind of critical to helping them sell the rest of the Mercury and Penny Lane boards.
Yep, without an Aussie or a Metis, Mercury and Penny Lane aren't very useful.
I did see Phil's article, at least the first part of it, and I haven't seen the next issue yet, but on his claw antenna came out, and it looks quite interesting.
You should complain to your RSGV rep. I got the second part of that article showed up this week, actually.
Mine usually shows right at the first of the month, but I haven't received it yet.
Maybe it got slowed down a little bit due to the hurricane.
Well, that's completely possible. We don't have any direct members that normally are on this list that live in the affected area, but I did see that Rick was on the list today, and he was trying out Herman's new codes and said the improvements were quite nice. I may have to try that this weekend, too.
Yeah, my folks and brother live up in New York, and the things are certainly upside down up there.
Well, hopefully they're all okay.
Yeah, everybody's okay. My folks don't have any electricity, which the outlook is really ugly. It may be next weekend till they get power back, which is not what you want to hear after being out of power for a week already.
No, a couple of years ago there in St. Louis, there was several storms in a row that went through and knocked out power for a week, and sales of these gas-powered electric generators really went up.
Yeah, no doubt. So hopefully they'll get it together. Wow, Port! I didn't realize that Port Huron had stuff getting knocked out from it.
Well, looks like about dinner time here. I'm going to say 73, and thanks to everyone for the good discussion tonight. I appreciated your thoughts and help.
Yeah, enjoyed hearing about what you're thinking. Always good to think about new stuff. So, 73, have a good night.
Enjoyed the discussion, or the listening to your discussion, Warren, and I'm amazed at the interesting ideas and projects you come up with that are in some sense simple, in some sense very complicated.
Well, thanks. They do keep me busy, and you know, some of these things only turn into a few lines of code, but a lot of thought goes into it. So thanks for your comments. Good evening to everyone.
I think I'm going to say 73 to everyone as well. So hopefully I'll catch you all next week.
Alrighty. I guess I should probably work on dinner here myself. So 73 all.
73 everyone. I'm going to head out too.
73, Randy.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm going to try to remember to join you next time and be on time this time. Thanks a lot, guys. Good night.
Randy, be sure that... because of the daylight savings time, in the U.S. we're staying at the same time, but the rest of the world is shifting an hour. So for you, it's basically the same time.
Very good. Thanks for that reminder. See you next time, 73.
User disconnected from your channel. User disconnected from your channel. User disconnected from your channel.